Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the John, Paul, and Mike Show!
You gonna edit this?
Oh, Lord.
You're gonna have to edit now.
Oh, yeah.
Or we can just.
I don't care, I'll edit it.
We can just go raw and people will be like,
yeah,
what happened? What happened to the John, Paul, and Mike Show?
I'll clearly do that. Here's that. I'm sending that to my story, because that is a whole winner.
Here's a story.
Paul, it's been a while.
Yes.
We've been so busy.
I know.
Working.
I know. Crazy.
I've missed you.
I know. It's been nuts. You got all your girlfriends on Snapchat?
Yeah, I have so many. So many. Until they see me.
Yeah, yeah. Your profile picture, you look like 30 years younger. I do.
It resembles an actor.
I know. That's really unusual.
I'll make sure I edit this out. Or maybe not. The great beauty of being good on the radio. They don't see me.
So what the heck? What the heck is with Snapchat?
Oh, man.
I've had a Snapchat account because, you know, I got to sort of try all these things. Suddenly, like, boom, there's, like, 50 new people on Snapchat that are all over the age of 20.
This is a great segue, which we did not plan. But I got hooked on it, Snapchat, first of all, because I have a grandchild.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I see my grandchild half a dozen times a day. It's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
But at Social Media Camp, of which you are the co-founder and social media god... A.K.A. Social Media God. I'm A.K.A. Nobody. Anyway, I listened to Sonny Leonarduzzi out of Vancouver.
Yeah.
Snapchat expert.
Yeah.
And my eyes were opened up to what could be done with the tool. Still playing with it, still trying to understand it, but it's a lot of fun.
I don't get it. Okay, so when
it's
I think
a lot
of
fun.
When I think of social media, I do think of the dialogue and stuff, but I also think of the publishing aspect of it. And so, you know, with Twitter, you can refer back to something that you tweeted a month ago and say, look, I predicted, you know, the outcome of this election or whatever. Snapchat doesn't have that. There's no history, right? It's just all real time.
No, although you can download the story.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, for this podcast today, I'm going to download the story and I'm going to then save it as a video and I'm going to put it onto our
YouTube.
Our website or YouTube.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. Okay. So.
So you know how is it you know more about Snapchat than me? First of all, how old are you?
Well, because I have a grandson, so I can play with.
Yeah, I don't have any grandchildren.
If I didn't have a grandson, I wouldn't even know how to spell Snapchat. Honestly, you know, really. But as I started to use it, I began to see. But we'll back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is more than appropriate. How I came out of the best social media conference on the planet, which is Social Media Camp, which of you are co-founder. What year was this? Year seven?
Year seven.
Yeah. So that's amazing. And it just finished a week ago.
Ten days ago? Yeah.
So you must be still pretty much exhausted. Why don't you tell us a little bit about just the emotional piece around organizing one of the best conferences in the world. 600-700 people. How many digital?
Yeah, there's about, yeah, well, if we include the digital people, we were over 700. The there was about 625 people.
I mean, if I organize a family dinner, I'm stressed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you know, we do have event planners that we work with that do a lot of the legwork, which we didn't have actually the first, I want to say maybe the first 2 years. And so we did do all that ourselves. And that's a lot of, like, just things like ordering name tags and, you know, registering people. Like, how does all that stuff work?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, you know, when I was 9 years old, I didn't say, when I grow up, I want to be an event guy. Like, nobody, I don't think anybody does that, right? Well, maybe some people, but wasn't.
Well, it obviously came out of a, out of a love and a passion for new technology, something, for example, you're called a technology ambassador here at Smart Dolphins.
Yeah.
That's really your brand.
Yeah.
You're a technology ambassador. over the last 10 years that has naturally evolved into social media. It's a natural thing for you to highlight. Yeah. It's been enormously successful. The best way to do that is to have a conference.
Yeah, and I think you know, my whole life I've been fascinated with technology, you know, since I got my first computer when I was 9 years old. And my mom actually...
3 years ago you got your first computer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. My mom actually worked for a software company. And, you know, back then, this was in the 80s, and, you know, you didn't really call it a software company. It was a service company, like... Software as a thing, as an industry, didn't kind of really...
Yeah.
It wasn't even really a formal thing.
What
at that
is
point.
Software?
Yeah. And so,
something you wear? Soft?
So, and basically how that worked was, you know, they had a bunch of clients that had dumb terminals, and they'd enter data in their dumb terminals, and it would connect with their mini computer, and they'd had a program running that was written in COBOL, which is, you know, older than the dinosaurs. and that was... So I was exposed to technology. And interestingly, exposed to communications technology. I mean, you know, obviously everybody had a telephone. We didn't think much of it, you know, at the time. But, you know, you could put your telephone onto a modem and then send digital signals, you know, over the telephone wires. Like, this was fascinating to me.
It was really fun noise when it was connected.
That's right.
Yeah. So connected.
And I got into BBSs pre-web. I got on the internet and got into things like news groups and multi-user games and things like that all existed pre-web, and just mind-blowing stuff. And so I think for me, when what happened was when the web came along, the internet died a little bit, a little piece of it died. And, you know, the marketers took over. And I've always sort of had a marketing-esque role in pretty much my, you know, my career in some capacity, either as a business owner or whatnot. But a little piece of the web kind of died or a little piece of the internet died when the web came along, because it just got taken over by marketers. And when social media came along, for me, as a thing, and especially when I say social media, there's always been social stuff on the web, but it's been kind of piecemeal. When things like Twitter and Facebook and real tools that connected real people and in some capacity in real time or close to real time, when those things started happening, and that's when I got really excited about communications technology again after a bit of a lull. And so I've been following that, and it's fascinating to see the way it's evolved.
Well, it's quite, you and the social media camp partner, Chris Birch, have been pioneers in this field and are now, have been attracting global talent. There were some themes coming out of this year's camp that I noticed. Maybe you can comment on them. One of them being a more personalization of the message, bringing back a certain humanity to the message, which certainly was reflected even in and amongst the people. They were really looking for, don't want to just get a million followers and post what I'm doing at 10 a.m. every day.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be some story around my message.
Well, and what we're seeing actually is quite a diverse approach, right? There was a lot of that. I was on a panel all about trolling and basically just talking about bad behavior and, you know, people, we've built this incredible communications network that
to expose the very worst of humanity.
Well, this is it, right? that has this amazing, tremendous capacity to do incredible good by bringing together people of the world, by breaking down barriers in language and in culture, and, you know, being able to connect in a way we've never been able to connect before. And what do we use it for? Well, for shaming each other, for, you know, putting each other down, for, you know, criticizing, for, you know.
Inevitably, that's going to happen. It's something we're not prepared for, is it?
And this is it, right? ultimately, there are tools, and there are tools used by people. And so, you know, clearly, as the human race, we have some evolving to do to catch up to what the tool's capacity is. And I think that's a sad statement on humanity, but I also think I'm also optimistic. I do think this is a phase in time we're going to kind of look back at and go, yeah, we've created this incredible network and did all this awful stuff. But glad that's behind
somehow
us.
Somehow went away, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that's behind us and, you know, we were able to...
Or we learn how to deal with it.
Deal with it, yeah. And it's hard, and I feel particularly that the millennial generation is going to be hit the hardest by all this. So, you know, I'm Gen X, I'm mid-40s now, and, you know, we went to parties and got drunk and, you know, did terrible things, and there was no photographic evidence, there was no video evidence, there was no real-time...
But there's something about telling somebody right beside you extraordinarily evil things,
yeah,
and actually not being able to do that face-to-face,
yeah,
as opposed to doing it anonymously online.
Right.
That part needs to be fixed. But I'm sure glad we are moving towards storytelling.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean,
yeah,
that's what you and I do,
yeah,
here all the time. A second piece that came out, and please...
I should say, though, there was another speaker, and he was the most loved. I won't say what his name is, but he was the most loved and the most reviled speaker at Social Media Camp. Well, we kind of predicted this would happen.
Was he wearing weirdly
yeah,
weird
it was,
clothing?
Yeah, it was dressed very, very strange.
I missed that.
Yeah.
But I heard
so,
it was fabulous.
Well, so it depends who you ask. Depends
okay.
who you ask.
Okay.
You heard from some people it was fabulous, and we heard from other people that it was horrible. We never should have let this guy speak.
Really?
Terrible message, you know. And basically, it was the social media equivalent of hacking, where basically his message was, you can do all this crazy stuff to, you know, build an audience artificially and grow, you know. And he actually even used some of his techniques to get people to come to his session.
So he was being pragmatic?
I don't think pragmatic is the right word. I would say...
realistic?
I would say guerrilla marketing.
Okay.
Maybe that would be a word we might stick on it. Yeah,
because some people hate guerrilla marketing.
That's it. And ultimately, he was doing the digital equivalent of it, which some would call spam or troll, has a rafter of negative connotations. And I didn't sit through the whole talk. I sort of got the gist of it. Some of it can be taken with a grain of salt. Some of it, you know, is probably illegal. You know, like it was kind of all over the map, right? But we brought it in. We brought the speaker in because. We want to have a diversity of voices.
Yeah.
It's okay to hate what the message is, you know. But let's have a forum where we hear
fascinating
different voices, right?
I became involved with technology in the mid-90s, in large part because I viewed all of this, the software, the hardware, the interaction, as an information revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still in the very early parts of that.
Yeah.
And therefore are still trying to get how it all works.
Yeah.
A second piece that was really driven home at your conference was this notion, we're increasingly moving towards video, towards presenting our story.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up back to the beginning of our conversation around Snapchat, is this, you know, iterative software platform that uses video in the very oddest of ways. It's hard for me to talk in 10-second gaps. but anyway, I'm trying. But this notion that people now want to see seems to be another theme emerging out of the conference.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I mean, there's when we talk about social media, there's three ways you can communicate. One is with sound, one is with video, and one is with text or symbols in terms of emoji, right? I think each kind of has their place, but we're seeing a lot more video content. We see a lot more YouTube. You know, like when we were little, John, there was no YouTube celebrities, right? And now, you know, who do the kids look up to? The YouTube celebrities. And it's like, I don't even know who any of these people are, for Christ's sake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, you know, that's had a huge cultural impact. You know, a lot of the entertainment we watch is stuff that started on Vine or somewhere else, YouTube, and made its way into our little screens and our big screens in our house. So I think that's a piece of it. I think podcasting has its place because people are still commuting.
Well, and you had the Canada Land fellow there.
Yeah.
I found that to be a fascinating presentation.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's built his own little
media empire. Yeah.
Media empire, and a key component of that is podcasting.
And crowdfunding, which is, you do, like, you know, most of his money, and most of his income, I think it's still most, it comes not from advertising, but from his listeners supporting. Kind of like all the listeners we have on our Patreon page, patreon.com/JohnPaulAndMike.
Well, we were so proud.
Where you can contribute as little as $1 a month to continue to hear exciting episodes coming to you each month.
And we are going to do it monthly because we frankly have so much fun at this.
Yeah.
And now that we're getting so busy, we need a bit of fun in our lives. Okay. So I mentioned a couple of themes. Are there some themes that you'd like to reference came out of
it? And so just to wrap up with the third element, you know, we have sound, we have video, and we have text. And in many ways, I think we're kind of, text is waning. You know, ultimately, it has bigger implications. Like, you know, my kid doesn't learn cursive handwriting in school anymore. That's just not taught.
Yeah.
That was a skill, like, that was...
Oh, yeah.
That was heavily cherished, right? I know how to handwrite, and I'm not... My writing's atrocious. But
and you can't read or write.
Yeah, barely, right? But it does beg the question, like, what does literacy mean, right?
In this day and age.
Mm-hmm. I have a relative who I won't name, but they've never read a book. They can't. There's some disability there. But they can communicate perfectly fine with text messaging and all the other tools. And so it's not like they can't read. Yeah. They just can't consume that large amount, you know, in terms of, you know, a long form article or a book or something like that would be completely lost on them. And so are they illiterate? Well, they're functionally literate insofar as they're capable of using the communication tools that we use as a culture, right? And so when we're defining literacy, we may be defining that differently 5 years from now than certainly we were a decade ago.
Bang on. That's fascinating. Okay. A bunch of people are significantly impacted by your conference. It's now a major attendance thing for anyone involved with digital communication around North America, increasingly the world. A couple of things I'd like to ask you. There's really a core of speakers I noticed that have now become friends and I think socialized together. Tell us a little bit of the inside of that. You don't have to say any names.
Yeah,
it's so cool to see that.
Yeah, there's people that come back year after year, you know, to see each other. And they're kind of, you know, they're the leading edge, you know, sort of minds of social media. Sometimes they speak, sometimes they don't. But they all come because this is, you know, this is the conference where they come together on this. You know, let's be clear. There's other marketing conferences. There's other social media conferences around the world. Where we're different or where we strive, to maintain our difference is that we don't want to just be a marketing conference. You know, lots of marketing people come, they learn lots about marketing, and that's great. We want to deal with the whole spectrum of social media because we think it's a bigger story. There's a massive impact in society that crosses boundaries far beyond marketing. And so most of our, if you will, competitors in different cities around the world that are offering, you know, world-class education around social media like we are, they're focused almost exclusively on marketing, where we cover, you know, a lot of things like government communications, which, you know,
you had a political panel. Different. I think you were either chair or were on it. I think it's fascinating that the presumptive Republican nominee for the U.S. American election has chosen as his main form of communication responding to anyone, he uses Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, okay, someone's going to say something. Let's wait for Donald Trump let's see what he's going to tweet.
Yeah.
I'm startled by that.
Yeah.
But that's the mode.
Yeah. Well, and there was just recently the democratic reform process, if we can call it that, down the politics road, in Canada, you know, modifying the electoral system in Canada. The minister responsible for that just recently announced, you know, is going to be done with the same old committee style that they've used before, and they'll be exercising their majority. And a lot of people were really disappointed, myself included. But in justifying it, in the House of Commons, the minister responsible came out and said, well, on Twitter, our hashtag was trending, you know, and
no way,
and there, and sad. Therefore, you know, Canadians are behind us in this process.
Wow,
like being pretty interesting claim. First of all, because you know, not everybody that tweets, you know, hashtag feel the burn is a positive, you know, Bernie Sanders supporter. There would be negative in there as well, right? And so you're being kind of presumptuous that all of that is positive support. But secondly, have we, and I loved the response actually of the opposition critic who basically in response said, I didn't realize that we were defining our democracy by what happens on Twitter. Which I thought was...
Which is oddly true, but oddly not true? Like, we kind of are, to some degree?
Yeah, have we... Well, that's actually a little scary. But, you know, ultimately, not everybody's on Twitter, so you won't hear all the voices, right?
Or we might hear the voices that don't vote.
Or the loudest voices, yeah. Or the most popular voices.
Yeah.
You know, so there's obviously lots of pitfalls. But I thought it was fascinating that as a culture, as a society, that we would actually hear something like that within debate. And of course, that remark of hers was sort of broadly criticized in the mainstream media as well.
Well, I would wish that social media camp goes on all the time. I'm certain that you're very pleased about the success, the results, and the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important, the dialogue that goes on.
Yeah.
And
the partnerships that form, and, you know, like, there's so much stuff that happens there.
Yes, I know.
And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, careers are started, partnerships are started, lots of digital projects are hatched,
yeah,
you know, when people meet there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah,
it'd be fun to do some kind of crowdsourcing economic development impact study.
Yeah. what's cool about it? I mean, you know, and John, you've been to lots of conferences too. I've always felt the most useful stuff that I've gotten out of conferences is the people I met in the hallways. And you know,
generally at the parties.
I remember when I used to go. Yeah, right. Yeah, I used to go to conferences in Las Vegas. You know, I'd go hang out with the smokers, even though I didn't smoke, because you know they were having conversations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And yeah. So ultimately, you're right. It's interesting to see all the stuff that sort of happens as a result, and we're seeing that grow bigger and bigger every year. I know. You know, a lot more people are tuning in live. We had somewhere around 100 this year, which is way more than last year, and a huge interest in that. So we're planning for next year to kind of blow the doors off of that now that we've kind of worked out some of the kinks.
Well, certainly, John, Paul, and Mike is extraordinarily lucky that Paul is able to reflect on this conference that he has organized. Can you give me the... coordinates for some people who want to now register for next year, get involved for next year? What are those called?
Yeah, so socialmediacamp.ca is our website. If you go onto the homepage, there is a link to the 2017 registration. We haven't revamped the whole site yet. It's only been 10 days since the last conference. So you're going to find a lot of 2016 conference info. But if you do...
there is contact info. People
there
will get
is,
a hold
yeah.
of you.
Yeah.
And we'll put it on Snapchat as well.
Yeah. And definitely the homepage has a link to advanced tickets. And if people know they're coming, it's May 3rd and 4th, 2017. If people know they're coming, I definitely encourage them to get their tickets early, because you save a lot of money by getting them early.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul, for this, and we'll see you in about a month.
You bet.
All right, see ya.